Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 11 in your King James Version. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. And the text of the message is the last half of the verse, which says this, "And the hope of unjust men perisheth." The hope of unjust men perisheth, and that is the title of the message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to be in church once again. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God you've given us. We thank you, Father. We know it's true. We thank you, God, that you use the Word of God to accomplish the purpose whereunto you've sent it. And, Father, you convert, you convict, you comfort people with the Word of God. We pray you might do that this morning. Particularly, we pray, God, for anyone here who's lost, that, God, you might deal in their heart about their need of Christ and their need of salvation. We pray they might trust you today. And for Christians, we pray, God, you might help strengthen us and encourage us in the things of God and the fact of our salvation. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the text and the title is there in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 7, the last part of the verse, "The hope of unjust men perisheth," or perishes. Now, when the time comes for us to die, we're going to cross over death's chilly waters into the endless ages of eternity. And those of us who have been saved will pass through the pearly gates into heaven, where there will be shouting and singing God's praises throughout eternity. Amen? But those who have rejected Jesus Christ and His salvation are going to pass through the charred gates of hell into a place of endless torment where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says there in verse number 7, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation perisheth." Well, when a wicked man dies, and by a wicked man, we're talking about an unsaved man, a lost man who doesn't know Christ as his Savior or her Savior. When a wicked man dies, all his hopes and dreams die with him. When an unjust man perishes, all his hope perishes with him. When a lost man dies, he leaves it all at the grave. And when an unsaved man dies, he goes to a Christless eternity. Now, in this message, we're going to examine the last half of verse 7, and we're going to answer four questions I believe that relate to this text, the fact that the hope of an unjust man perisheth. First of all, let me ask this question. Who is the unjust man? Who is the unjust man? Well, the unjust man is a man, woman, boy, or girl who's not right with God. Romans 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And that means that there's nobody outside of Jesus Christ that's right with God in their own merit and their own merits. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of holiness as expressed in His Word. We've all missed the mark, we've all failed the grade, and we've all committed sin against an almighty and a holy and a just God. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, "For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So there is no just man on this earth outside of Jesus Christ. Who is the unjust man? He's a man, woman, boy, girl who's not right with God. He's also a man, woman, boy, girl who's a lost sinner that needs to be saved. In Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus said this. He said, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So a just person is a saved person. An unjust person who's one's not right with God and needs to repent and be saved. And they're the lost sheep that Jesus Christ is looking for in that particular passage. The unjust man is a man, a woman, boy, or girl who will stand before God one day and be judged for their sin. The Bible says in Acts 24 and verse 15, "There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. One unto everlasting life and the other to eternal damnation." Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Apostle Paul said this. He said, "God now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." So we're all going to stand at a judgment one day, and we're going to give an account of what we did with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and whether we repented of our sins and received Him as our Savior, or whether we rejected Him and never did receive Him. One's to life, and one is to damnation. The unjust man is the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl that Christ died to save. The good news is, if you're unjust this morning, if you're lost, if you're wicked, if you're a sinner, Christ came to save you. Amen? And everybody here that's saved, that is justified in Jesus Christ, is still a sinner. They once were a sinner. They once were wicked. And you know how we got saved? We got saved because we realized that we were unjust, that we were wicked, that we were ungodly, and that we need to be saved. You can't get saved till you know you need to get saved. And you won't do that till you admit you're a sinner. Amen. The unjust man is one that Christ died for. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just," that's Jesus Christ, "for the unjust. He died for you and me that he might bring us to God." Amen. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Thank God for that. Amen. He came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners, that is, the worst of the bunch, and if Jesus can save the worst, he can still save you, amen? And he will. As the old saying goes, he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost, amen?
Right.
Who is the unjust man? He's a lost man. He's an unsaved man in need of salvation. Now, what is the hope of the unjust man? It says the hope of the unjust man perisheth. Okay, we've established who the unjust man is. He's an unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl. A person doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Now, it says his hope perishes. So the question comes up, what is the hope of the unjust man? What is his hope? Well, hope in the Bible is not a gambler's hope, and biblical faith is not just blind faith. The Bible hope speaks of trust, confidence, and faith. The unjust man's hope is what he trusts in to save him. The unjust man's hope is what he's relying on to get him past the judgment and into heaven. And so the question comes up, what is your hope this morning to get you into heaven? We're going to describe the unjust man's hope, and if this is you, then you stand in need of redemption and salvation, and you need to be saved, amen, if this is your hope. But if you're not trusting in these things, but trusting in Jesus Christ, then you can know for sure that you're saved, amen. Now, what's the unjust man's hope? Well, let me give you a couple. Some trust in their riches. Some trust in their riches. They give to the church. They donate to charity. They support community causes with their pocketbook. You read the book of Acts chapter 8, you find there a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer. And he even tried to buy the gift of God with money, and Peter turned him down and said, "You can't buy the gift of God, amen, because it's not for sale. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. It's not something you can buy with your money or with your charity donations or whatever it might be." The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse number 4, the very same chapter, it says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Your money is not going to get you into heaven. Amen. Psalm 49, verse 6 and 7 says this about those who trust in riches. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. What he says is this. He says, a rich man can't buy his relative's way out of hell into heaven. He can't buy their way out of purgatory or out of limbo and get them into heaven. Amen? You can't purchase their redemption. You can't buy them. You can't pay a ransom to God for them. The ransom's already been paid, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not anybody's money. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the apostle says this, "For as much as you know that you were redeemed," that means bought and paid for, "with corruptible," you weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, that's your money, "from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He says, you know you were redeemed not by money, not by things, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary for you. Amen. Salvation's in the blood. It's not in your bank account. St. Jude's Children's Hospital here in Memphis was started by a great humanitarian who loved children. The man's name was Danny Thomas. But you know what? He died without Jesus Christ. He died as an unjust man, and his money did not get him into heaven. Amen? Did not do it. An old-time Methodist preacher by the name of Phil Schuller out in Los Angeles back in the 40s. He was popular back then in the 50s, 60s, I suppose. But he was an old-time Methodist preacher out there, pastor of a large Methodist church. And he tells how he spoke one time to one of the most generous celebrities of his generation. And the man told the preacher this when he witnessed to him. He said, quote, "When you've given as much money to charity as I have, then you talk to me about being a Christian. In the first place, I don't have as much money as this fellow had, amen? And you don't either. So you're never going to be able to give as much money as this man who made this statement to charity. Just impossible. And if the standard for getting to heaven is giving more money to charity or as much as this man did, there's very few people going to make it in this room, amen? Who was that man that said that? That was Bob Hope who said that. He died without Jesus Christ. And he made a joke one time, well, he made it, I guess, throughout his life in his routines and stuff. He didn't want to go to hell on a technicality, so he just simply accepted all religions. Amen. But he never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. If that's the case, he did not buy his way into heaven. Amen. He's not in heaven. Some trust in their riches. Some trust in their religion. They count on their church and their church membership. But I got news for you. The church didn't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Amen. And your name can be on the church roll, and it can be missing from heaven's roll. You got to get saved and born again and get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life to be saved. Amen. And you do that by trusting Christ, not the church or your church membership. Some folks depend on their baptism. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think we sang that this morning, maybe. But you know what? Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. Hey, the water in the baptistry cannot wash your sins away.
Amen?
Amen? Just not going to happen. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, not some nasty water out of the sewer system. Amen? That can't wash your sins away. Some depend on their baptism. I don't. I trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, some trust in their prayers, they trust in their beads, they trust in their saints, they trust in their gods, amen? They trust in those things. Some rely on their faithfulness to a particular faith, or a denomination, or a particular cult. You talk to some folks, you ask them about their salvation, if they know the Lord, and they might tell you something about, well, you know, I've been to the Vatican, or I've been to Mecca, or I've been to Salt Lake City, or I've been to Nashville, maybe even, amen? But you know what? You can't get saved by belonging to a particular denomination or a faith or a cult. The fact is, you can have Sunday school attendance buttons hanging off your chest like a war hero and still be lost and go to hell. Amen? You can't depend on those things to get you to heaven because those things didn't pay for your sins. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not only that, they'll rely on their priest, their preacher, or their rabbi. You read back in the book of Judges, I think it's chapter 18, a man by the name of Micah. He's traveling the land there, and he doesn't have a place to worship. He don't have a pastor, so he decides to get him a preacher. He gets him a priest. Matter of fact, he goes out and he hires him a priest. And he builds his own little chapel. And Micah says this, "Now God will bless me, seeing I have my own priest." I can think of a fellow who built his own church, his own chapel, and I guess he's got his own priest out there, Mel Gibson. Didn't he build him a church out on his property? Got his priest out there? I'm sure he tithes to him. Now, God's going to bless me because I built a chapel, I built a church, I built a cathedral, then I got my own priest now. Well, your priest can't help you, amen, unless it's the high priest, Jesus Christ. Remember, the most religious people in the world rejected Christ and they crucified the Savior. They rely on their priest, some do, their preacher or their rabbi. I remember one time I was at this seminar where I worked at one time, and we had to go to this class, and I went there, and there was a young fellow there, and he was teaching the class. He seemed pretty smart. No doubt he was pretty intelligent. And so I walked up to him, and I just wanted to give him a tract. So I offered him a gospel tract. Apparently he'd seen them before. Even though he was from New England, apparently he'd seen a gospel tract. Amen? And he knew what it was. And I said, "I'd like to give you something, tell you about Christ and how to be saved." And he told me, he said, "Thank you, I don't need that. I trust my priest." That's what he said. I said, "Well, if you trust your priest, you're trusting the wrong person. You got to trust Jesus Christ." You know what? He didn't care for that statement because he liked his priest. Hey, I love my priest. Amen. I go to him every day. Amen. My priest is the high priest, Jesus Christ, amen, who's passed into heavens for me. He's your priest too if you're saved, amen. Now, let me say this. Nobody's religion can save them, but some people trust in the religion. Some trust in their righteousness. We're talking about the hope of an unjust man. Some trust in the riches. Some trust in the religion. Some trust in their own righteousness. They count on their own good works, their own morality, their goodness, and what they can do to get them to heaven. But the Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. You say, "Well, I do good." I'm sorry, no, you don't. The Bible said, Romans 3:10 or there, he said, "There's none that doeth good." I'm sorry, you're a no good. You don't do good. You're not a do-gooder, according to the Bible. The Bible says, "There's none righteous." Got news for you, you're not righteous. You're not holy. You might as well get off your religious high horse because, hey, you're going to fall off because you're not righteous. Amen? According to the Bible, there's none righteous, no, not one. Remember the story of the publican, the Pharisee back there in Luke chapter 18? He was a bad man that got saved, the publican, but the Pharisee was a good man who was lost. Hey, that rich man, the Pharisee came in there and said, Lord, I'm here in church and I think I'm not like everybody else, including this publican over here. The publican just stood off, the Bible said, afar and smote his chest and said, God be merciful to me. He knew he needed mercy. The other guy didn't. A sinner. He knew he was a sinner. The other guy didn't know he was a sinner. Matter of fact, the Bible said about that man, the Pharisee, it said he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God. You might as well stand in front of the mirror and admire yourself and pray to thyself. Amen? That's what you do when you're trusting your own righteousness to get you to heaven, which that man was. The publican had it right. He knew he was a sinner who needed the mercy of God. And if you're a sinner this morning who knows you need the mercy of God, you can be saved if you're not already. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3 verse 5 says this, not by works of righteousness. Can I repeat that again? Salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He says there you got to be regenerated. That means born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? And then when that happens, you get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven. But it's by the grace of God and it's not by works of righteousness. I don't know how many people that I've witnessed to, no doubt you have too, where it's like, can I just repeat this verse to you about 10 times in a row here, that salvation is not by works of righteousness which you've done. That's what the Bible says. But they'll jump over here to that and jump over here to that, and you'll bring them back to here and say, you're saved by grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserved favor. You're not saved by your own merits, but by the merits of Jesus Christ who died for you. It's not by works of righteousness that you've done. There's nothing that you can do to get yourself into heaven. Matter of fact, the best thing that you can do in life will land you in hell. Because salvation's not by works. So you might have taken the good test or seen that. That's a great way to witness to folks. How many have heard of the good test? The good test. Well, the good test is simply this. How good are you? Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's find out. Okay, the Bible says thou shalt not bear false witness. Therefore, you shouldn't lie, right? If you have ever told a lie in your life, please raise your hand. Okay, you're all a bunch of liars. Amen? Okay, we're off to a bad start already. Let's see this. How many of you have used the name of God in vain at some point in your life? You're blasphemers. You're liars and you're blasphemers. You're not very good. Amen? How many of you have had an adulterous thought or a lustful thought about somebody of the opposite sex? We'll leave it at that. Okay. Now I know you're a bunch of liars. Amen? Wow. We got some wicked, lying, blaspheming, adulterous people here this morning. Amen? I bet you stole something which makes you a thief, and I bet you've had some anger in your heart towards somebody which makes you a murderer. Amen? So that means that I'm in the midst of a bunch of lying, blasphemous, adulterous, thieving murderers. And you think you're going to heaven on your good works? Don't think so. Amen? We can all agree that we're lost if that's our condition. Amen? Nobody can go to heaven like that. And so what you got to do, you got to lay aside those garments stained with sin, like the song said, and be washed in the blood, amen, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to get to heaven, you've got to be perfectly sinless. You've got to keep the entire law, and nobody's ever done that except one man, and that's God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He's the Savior, and we need the saving, amen. The Bible said in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and they can't save us. So if you're going to present God your goodness and your righteousness to get you to heaven, as far as the Lord's concerned, it's simply filthy rags. It's dirty laundry. And God says, you know what? Dirty laundry is not going to get you entrance into heaven. You're going to have the robes of righteousness provided to you by Jesus Christ who died for you. Amen? So some trust in their righteousness, their goodness. Some trust in their relations, They trust the people they know, the people they're related to, the people in their family, that kind of thing. I spoke to a guy one time, and I witnessed to him, and we talked a little bit, and we got done. He told me, he said, you know what? He said, I've shook hands with Spencer W. Kimball. Anybody know who that is? He was the president of the Mormon Church, the prophet, back in the 70s, but he shook hands with him. I don't think he'd washed it since. Amen? He was going to use that to get to heaven on. Some people may have said, I've kissed the Pope's ring. That's better than his toe, amen. They'll say, my brother's a priest. My sister is a nun. Well, they can't get you to heaven because they don't know how to get there themselves. Amen. Hey, Sister Teresa, as much good charity works as she did, doubted if she was saved and thought she was going to hell when she died. So, if you're not as good as Sister Teresa, I mean, how in the world are you going to make it? If she can't tell you how to get there, I mean, who is? Outside of a real Christian, amen. Somebody might say, my grandpa is a preacher, my uncle's a deacon. My parents are Christians. Well, okay, I'm glad that your parents are Christians. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? You say, my parents are Christians. You know what? God don't have grandchildren. He has children, which means you must be born again and save yourself and become a child of God. You can't get in because your parents are. You can only get in because you yourself have trusted Christ as your Savior. Your parents love you. They want you to go to heaven. And I'm sure they would do all they could to get you saved into heaven. But they can't save you. And you can't get into heaven just because mom and dad are a Christian. You get to heaven because you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then you can't get in. You've got to get saved yourself. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter who your friends are. It doesn't matter what country you're born in. That doesn't make you a Christian. Some people used to believe in America. If they were born American, they were Christian. Amen. People believe that at some point. Now, remember how the Pharisees came to John the Baptist. And they said to him, we're Abraham's seed. We're the chosen people. And John said that to them. He said, you better repent and you better flee the wrath to come because you know what? Being the children of Abraham in the flesh is not going to get you to heaven. You're going to have to repent and you're going to receive the Messiah. You're going to get saved. So you have to become a child of God yourself by personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and you must be born again. You got to be saved yourself. Not only that, some people trust in their reputation. Again, what's the hope of an unjust man? It may be his riches. It may be their religion. It may be their righteousness. It may be their relations. It may be their reputation. But God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of your position. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Your reputation is not going to precede you and get you into heaven. You got to be saved God's way. Amen. Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said himself in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you're king or commoner, prince or peasant, president or farmer, movie star or man on the street, everybody has to come by the way of the cross. You've got to be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've established who is the unjust man. He's a lost man. He's an unsaved man. What's the hope of the unjust man? We talked about that. Now let's look at another thing. Let's ask another question. Number three. How is the hope of the unjust man no hope at all? How is his hope no hope at all? Well, his hope is a flattering hope, but it's a false hope. His hope flatters the flesh, it strokes his ego, it pampers his religious pride. But you got to remember that salvation is not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. That means brag. If salvation were by works, then you could brag before men, and you could boast before God. That's what the book of Romans chapter 4 teaches. But you know what? Nobody struts in the presence of God. You witness to folks down here, man, they'll get in your face sometimes. And they'll get indignant because you have called into question their salvation. But you know what? They're not going to be looking, they're not going to be talking that way when they stand before God. And find out that the Bible was true. And what you told them was the truth. And when the Holy Spirit of God convicted them and they got mad at God and got mad at you, when they stand before God, the Bible said every mouth is going to be stopped. And the whole world is going to become guilty before God. Best thing to do is shut up now. And consider yourself guilty before God now and admit your guilt and get saved here and now. Don't wait till the judgment day because it'll be too late. You take the reason that the unjust man's hope is no hope at all is because his hope is no good because it's not in God. That's why. His hope also is popular, but it's powerless. It's popular, but it's powerless. The gospel of Christ is the power of God, according to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what? If you'll believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, it's the power of God to save your soul from hell and give you eternal life. The unjust man, the unsaved man, he has a form of godliness, but he denies the power thereof, and that is the gospel that saves. He denies Christ as Savior. He denies the blood that saves. He denies the gospel that saves. He may be religious. He may even belong to a church. He may even be a Baptist for all we know. But yet if he's trusting his own righteousness, his own goodness, trusting something else besides Jesus Christ, he's lost. And you know what? He has a powerless form of salvation. He has a form of godliness, but he denies that power. A works-based religion, by the way, a works-based religion will always be more popular than salvation by grace. The cross is offensive to man because it insults his pride. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen? To me, it's the power of God because it saved me. To a lost man, it's foolishness. He'll laugh at it. He'll mock at it. He'll make fun of it. Even religious people will do that. I mean, I've had religious people that went to church and they've been baptized and catechized and everything else of every denomination, including Baptist, that would reject salvation by grace and still want to be saved by their works. Even though the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which you've done. Amen? They can't get it through their head because that self-righteousness says, no, I've got to do something to get to heaven. It's not just that they want to do something, they don't want to deal with their sin. That's the problem. They want to skirt the sin issue and say, well, I'll just reform and turn over a new leaf and start over and forget all that other stuff. And God says, no, you can't forget the other stuff. There's still sin there. And self-righteousness is just as bad. That's a sin as well. Now, his hope is no hope at all because it's flattering but false, it's popular but powerless. And the world is always going to, they're always going to gravitate to salvation by works. They're always going to do that because that's what they believe in. Now, when God deals with your heart and shows you you're a sinner, and you recognize that, and you acknowledge that, and you admit that to God, then you can get saved. But you've got to first of all admit that you need salvation, that you're powerless, and that your hope is a false hope. Let me say finally this. Fourth question that this verse brings about. Why will the hope of the unjust man perish? We ask the question, who is the unjust man? We ask the question, what is the hope of the unjust man? We ask the question, how is the hope of the unjust man no hope at all? The last question is this, why will the hope of the unjust man perish? Why will his hope perish? Well, because a person's hope and trust and faith is only as good as the object that they put it in. You can put all the hope, faith, and trust that you have and believe as hard as you possibly can that a doctor or a lawyer can save you from a terrible disease or disaster, but if he doesn't have the knowledge, the ability, and the skill to bring you through, your faith can't help you one bit. Because your faith and your hope and your confidence is only as good as the object or the person that you put it in. You can put all the hope, faith, and trust you have in things that don't save, and you still won't be saved no matter how hard you believe, because your faith is only as good as who or what you put it in. Or you can do this. You can put what little hope, faith, and trust that you do have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross, and you can be saved and you can know it. That's the hope that you want. The Bible talks about Christ, the hope of glory that's within us. And when you get saved, God, Son, Jesus Christ, literally comes into your body, moves into you, lives within you and within your heart, and you have the hope of heaven, Jesus Christ Himself, within you. And the hope of glory is Jesus Christ in you. You say, well, how do I get Jesus Christ in me? Good question. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on Him." Amen. If a person believes on Christ and receives Him as personal Savior, then Christ comes and lives within them, and they have within them Christ, the hope of glory, and they can know for sure they're going to heaven. Amen. And if you're saved this morning, you can know you're going to heaven because you have that hope as well. One of the great songs of the faith says this, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. My hope is not built on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood and His righteousness." Amen? And if you receive Christ, His blood washes your sins away, and His righteousness makes you right with God so that you can go to heaven when you die. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, our text said this, "The hope of the unjust man perisheth." Not only does the hope of the unjust man perish, but the unjust man himself will perish because his hope is a false hope. But the good news is that God doesn't want any man to perish. He's not willing that any should do that, but that all should come to repentance. What God's willing to do, He's willing to save anybody who will come to Him by faith and get saved. What? When God's dealing with you, the thing you do is don't fight God's conviction. Give into it and say, "Lord, You're right. I admit You're right, God. The Bible's true and I'm wrong and I need to be saved." Get on your knees, bow your head before God and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner who needs mercy. God, please save me for Jesus' sake." You know what God will do? God will save you. God will save you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm sure a lot of folks in this room can say amen to the fact that they've done that, right? You bowed the knee, you've bowed your head before God, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've got hope that the world doesn't have. But there might be somebody here today who doesn't have that hope. There might be some here today that maybe you know today that if you died this afternoon.